This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Ballistic. So understand that if you don't have gold and the dollar tanks, where are you going to be at? Where are you going to be at? We're going to open the phones. We're going to go to Joe real quick. Joe, you got a couple minutes. Go.
Is that me?
That's you. Are you Joe?
Oh, wow. I never called a radio show before. I didn't realize that would be me so
right.
fast.
No, it's just that we have a guest coming up in the next segment, so I'm going to give you a chance to wail.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, wail.
I'll try not to wail. I may swee or frap.
You got a minute, Joe. You better get to it.
Okay. I don't think that we're really based on a true gold standard anymore, because if we ran out of gold, I don't think anybody would notice. I think we're based more on the Don and Mike Show Farfalota standard. Whoopee!
Wow. You know, that's you know, that's wonderful, and I appreciate the phone call. That's great. I appreciate that. What we want to do is we want to discourage people from lying to Neil, because, you know, hey, I tell the truth on a program, and we expect the same from you. We expect the same from you out there in Radio Land.
Shut up.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Well, hi, everybody.
Oh, hi there, everybody.
Yeah.
All right, enough. I find this whole conversation to be extremely offensive.
Yeah.
All right, enough.
He prefers to be treated like a dog and also a toilet.
Welcome back to the show.
Hello.
Damn.
Oh, Florida. Florida Evan.
I would be remiss in my duty if I did not tell you. That the idea of intercourse and the fact of your firm young body co-mingling with the withered flesh.
Fresh.
Sagging. Breasts.
Yeah.
And flabby. Bottom. Makes me want to vomit.
Do you have hair in your special place?
Be warned, this is extremely graphic. So if you have small children in the room, don't let them disturb you.
Hey, Big Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Well, hi, everybody.
You got a Don and Mike Show. Hi, little brains.
Hello.
We're little brains just like you. Don and Mike Show, sure happy it's Thursday. Maybe you just heard the phone number, 877-365-3636.
Wonderful.
Get to your calls in a moment. All the American Idol stuff.
Oh, what a show, what a show.
All the tapes, all of that stuff. We got what I believe will be a pretty dynamite exchange between myself and Mike and Tom Gavin.
Yes, complete with all the editing necessary.
We will have a world premiere of a beautiful...
Down and Dirty with Tom Gavin.
A beautiful six-minute phone call that happened during a commercial set on yesterday's show.
And ended, fortunately, peacefully.
Yeah.
It was a gentle ending, and do not let the hostility fool you. We have genuine esteem for each other.
It is the type of conversation that we have with Tom on a regular basis during the commercials.
Yeah, people should keep in mind that regardless of how insane this conversation sounds, you guys did all part as friends at the end of the conversation.
Well, and always do. That's been going on for years with lots of people with Tom. And Tom likes the potty talk. He truly does.
And so do we.
Oh, do we ever.
So we've got that for you. Okay, here's the one thing that I did want to say about the tape of the Virginia Tech killer. Besides the fact that Rob pointed out that the guy's voice sounds like Napoleon Dynamite, and now I'm sorry I can't get that out of my head. I'm not saying that to be insensitive.
It's the same monotone type of thing. Scary, though.
The thing that I find disturbing is the NBC News logo, which is all over this thing, and the fact that NBC is playing the crap out of this thing. They're saying they're limiting it to like 10% of their broadcast or something.
Now they're getting it down to a percentage.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're sharing it with other networks, but it's with the big NBC logo on it. And these are the same self-righteous MFers who last week were screaming that they're above the fray because they fired Imus and they talked to their employees, you know. What they really want to run is something like this. Give me a moment. I'm no mic. I've not written a script. I don't have a DJ voice, but it would go something like this. Tragedy on the Virginia Tech campus. He came to kill. He had his weaponry. He had the photos. He had the videos. He could have chosen any network. When it was time to document the killing, he chose NBC News. When it counts, America counts on NBC.
Yeah, they're not coming out and saying that, but they'd sure
like
to.
That's what they want to say.
They would love to.
God, it's killing them they want to say that.
And then you get the debate. You know, it's funny, too. As soon as you get the debate as to the journalistic ethics of whether this should be released or whether it shouldn't be, you've got... You know, it's out there, and it gives, and even when they're doing the debate, I was watching Keith Olbermann last night, and even during the debate that they were having on it, they're still running the pictures.
Right.
So, it doesn't matter anyway. I mean, you want to know a simple, and everybody's talking about, you know, the journalistic ethics, whether they should do it. You know what? You want to know what to do? Poll the families. One family member says, no, you don't do it.
Or how about this? Run it once.
Run it once like it. Well, they did the same thing at the World Trade Center where they showed it again and again, and then they finally got so much heat on them for it that they pulled it back.
And poor Sangina has had an Imus pulled on him now.
Yes.
For goodness sakes.
Thank God.
He should be on the front page. He should be what everybody's talking about.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Sangina finally got his comeuppance.
Nice.
And,
did you hear the pure joy in the audience? When?
Yes. Hey,
that's probably the biggest cheer I have ever heard for anyone being dumped on Idol.
And yet it's not getting the coverage that it should get.
No.
Although they were masterful last night, the producers of American Idol.
Sure. They are brilliant, Don.
Remember yesterday we were talking about how when the Justin Timberlake boy started his talk about Virginia Tech,
sure,
and Simon Cowell rolled his eyes, I guess there had been a firestorm about that because they addressed it last night on the show.
Well, and they addressed it so well that they proved that the camera can lie, and and the camera did lie. And it was so brilliant the way they did this because there was no – it was irrefutable. You could not say that Simon had made a reference to the Virginia Tech. He was talking about the nasal thing. I couldn't believe they did it that well.
So to set it up again, what happens is, like we described yesterday, the Justin Timberlake kid starts getting in an argument with Simon Cowell about if he's singing nasally or not. And right in the middle of the argument, the kid says, hey, my heart goes out to Virginia Tech. They cut to a shot of Simon Cowell rolling his eyes. Now,
it looked like he rolled his eyes in response to that. Sending his thoughts out to the families of Virginia Tech.
That's how I interpreted it.
Everybody did.
As well, that he was saying, like, you know, please, what are you talking about?
Oh, come on now. Yeah, and it wasn't that at all. He was actually still on the nasally thing, and they were so...
Here it is.
It was so phenomenal.
Here it is. They've got him mic'd during the entire show, Simon Cowell. Anyway, here's his apology.
Now, Simon, I want to clear something up. There seems to be a little confusion with a look that you gave last night on the live show after Chris sang. What happened?
Just a bit. Look, I wouldn't normally comment on a press story, Ryan, on this show about me or American Idol, but last night on the show, Chris and myself got into quite a heated debate about singing through your nose.
Right.
And after I finished talking, I was talking to Paula, and unfortunately I didn't hear Chris mention the people of Virginia. There was on camera, I gave a look, but in fact I was giving a look to Paula, and the implication was I was disrespecting the victims. And I just want to absolutely set the record straight. I didn't hear what Chris was saying. I may not be the nicest person in the world, but I would never, ever, ever disrespect those families or those victims. And I felt it was important to set the record
straight. And we all know that about
you. So at that point, you think, okay, they've done a pretty good job of covering their ass.
Yeah, I thought that was really, whether he had or he hadn't, it was the obligatory lip service that they were giving. And I thought it was all over. And then, man, then they finished it for us.
Then they go to a split screen.
This is as brilliant as it gets. This is as plugged into your audience as any television show I've ever seen.
We're at one box. You see what was happening live on TV. In another box, you see Simon Cowell at the same time having his reaction.
Right.
But a camera is just on him. You can tell he cannot hear what they're saying on stage.
His mic is isolated, and you can hear what he's saying to Paula.
And he's saying to Paula Abdul, what's he saying about singing nasally?
And he was, the eye roll was based on that. And it was as obvious as, you can't dispute it. It was amazing the way they did it.
So what was great was they come out with that, and just when you think that that's going to be the end of it, they go right to this.
You know, to that point about talking when we're on the stage, you talk to the judges, Paula and Randy, all the time while we're up here on this stage, not listening to what we're talking about. Isn't that right? He's always taunting you,
that
Paula.
Is true, Ryan, yes.
As a matter of fact, what you didn't see at home was this shot of Simon talking to Paula while Chris was up here on stage. Watch.
Brilliant.
If I've done it every single week, then...
Yeah.
That's so that was intended to sing nasally.
Obviously.
But I do.
That's what he just said, Paula.
I go out to Virginia Tech. I have a lot of friends over there, and I just be strong.
Yeah, well said. Absolutely. I don't get that.
1-866-5.
That I intended to sing nasally. I don't get that. He said he did it on purpose. He said he doesn't do it every week.
There's another show happening at that table each and every night, apparently.
It's always me trying to explain what's going on. They said that they sang this, Simon, okay?
He's hard of hearing a little bit, Ryan.
I still don't understand.
Simon, there would be less confusion if you did more of this. A little bit less.
And Seacrest handled that pretty well, too. He is, like him or not, he's smooth.
That's a pretty great broadcasting machine
I've never seen anything like it.
As we mentioned when it happened on the show on Wednesday night, you know that a producer came to them during the commercial and said before the very end, whatever you do, Simon Cowell, stop critiquing people and say you're sorry about what happened at Virginia Tech.
You know, it is obvious that they have a production crew associated with that show that are so plugged in to their audience, and obviously they can go to the talent and say, hey, listen, we need to do it this way, and the talent respects that because, you know, that was a behind the scenes move all the way. They were on it the night he did it.
Yeah,
you know, they were on it to make him correct it while the show was on the air, and then they followed up on it because they took, you know, they listened to the viewers, and they really are aware of the seriousness of the issue that they have to do that. And you don't see that on television. No.
Aren't you surprised? For all the time we've watched that stupid show and we pontificate on that show, that you realize now that the judges really can't hear what's being said on stage?
It was very interesting the way they. It wasn't that they couldn't hear what was on stage. It was that he was not listening. They isolated his microphone. I don't know if they have IFBs or not.
No, they don't.
And they don't.
No, none of them on the show. And an IFB is the thing that goes into your ear that tells you what to say.
Right.
None of them wear those.
Right.
So they're sitting there, and when you hear the discussion on stage sounding like it's 30 or 40 feet away.
Right.
It really is.
Yeah, that's amazing. It really...
And they're just not paying attention.
They showed everybody, because everybody was saying the same thing about Simon the day after, and they kind of proved themselves beyond a shadow of a doubt. It was very, very cool.
Hey, how about Randy's hat, though? That's nice.
Yeah. But no more Sanjaya hair. And brilliant ad lib when he sang his last song. You know, let's.
Darling, let's give them something to talk about.
How about hell?
Let's give them something to talk about.
Talk about hair. Isn't he brilliant? Other than hair.
Yeah. I was hoping he was singing hell, but then it was pointed out to me he was singing hair.
I'll really miss him. I stood up, and I was lying in bed. You got that right, Rob.
You stood up lying in bed.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Wonderful. See you later.
All right, Peter North.
That's exactly what happened.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Where will we go for Sanjaya now?
Oh, who cares?
I was listening to a talk show this morning, and they played a clip of, I don't know whether it was CSNBC, MSNBC, one of those, where they were saying that NBC was the network that he went to, and they were pumping out their chest and bragging about it. I don't know if it was Chris Matthews, but somebody big like that.
Ridiculous.
Buzz could look it up.
You know, someone should do a quick survey of the employees of NBC like they did with the Imus thing and ask them, are you offended that your network is whoring out the greatest tragedy of the last 40 years in America as far as shootings go?
Well, and, you know.
And you got to classify that, too.
Right, of course.
Because you got to make sure that you know, you don't get all your tragedies mixed up now.
Well, watching all the talking heads, too, you get a lot of analysis. And one of the pointed analyses of this situation is that you do, and I believe this firmly, that when you have it happen this quickly, this quick turnaround where you've got that video, you are going to inspire people that are predisposed to that kind of behavior. You are going to motivate copycat type of people. People that are, you know, saying, hey, look at this. I mean, look what this guy did. He participates in this incredible massacre, and then he is all over television. I mean, it scares me to think of the implications of making this guy so quickly, so rapidly, you know, on everybody's television. It's freaky. I was going into the drugstore today, and I had just seen last night this guy saying about, he's a profile, you know, retired profiler for the FBI, saying,
right,
yes, this could indeed, this type of thing could do more to inspire.
I saw the same guy on TV.
Old kind of grizzled
guy. With gray hair?
Yeah, gray-haired guy.
Saw the same guy.
Yeah, kind of a, you know, not a real flashy guy, but he was real steady. And
he wasn't being an alarmist. He was just saying.
No, just matter of fact.
I think you're going to see a lot of colleges get a lot of threats now.
And I walk in, and there's this guy, you know, it's a kind of a warm day here in Virginia, and I'm going into the drugstore, and I see this guy that's dressed head to toe in that kind of SWAT team stuff with the army boots,
right,
and he's wearing one of those military style parkas with shades on, smoking a cigarette right outside the drugstore. And I swear to God, I went into the drugstore just saying that was very much top of mind for me, saying, "Hey, copycats," because it's just the way you it makes you think differently. And I would imagine somebody who's got a brain that's got one of those circuits screwed up, it would make them think differently too.
Yeah.
I mean, the bottom line, it is glorifying this, you know, this psychopath, this horrible human being that did this. It's glorifying him. It's putting him on TV.
We were also promised that there'd be a helpful evidence to come out of this, and none of that came to pass either. So there really was no point in studying it so publicly.
No, the only point was, hey, look, here's the guy.
Right.
Here he is. Here's the picture of him with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Here he is with a knife. Here he is making a face. And here he is now with his demands.
Yeah, you want to know what the guy, first of all, let's establish the fact that he was insane without any, I mean, probably nothing could have really helped him unless he was put in some sort of facility or medicated to an extent where he wouldn't do this. Other than that, you've got this guy who was a loner. And the stuff I was reading today that, you know, laughed at, like many loners in all school situations are.
Hi, Rob.
You know, Rob the loner. It's just.
Rob was just laughed at a lot. He had a lot of friends. He was always.
Well, Rob was gregarious, though. Rob wasn't the quiet type. You see, that's the thing. He was laughed at and not the quiet type.
It's always the quiet ones.
It's the quiet ones. It really is. I think it's the haves and have-nots, too.
Well,
I think that plays a lot. A lot of his stuff was envious, talking about.
But still, he was sick. He wasn't right.
Right, right. But everything was, what is it, your Mercedes and your jewelry. And
that is what's weird about that is that now, looking in the context of this stupid show, we're discussing the things that this guy said, you know, almost like they've become a part of our pop culture now.
Right,
you know,
right.
You got your Mercedes, you made me do this. I mean, we're all doing this because we've been fed this tape.
Yeah, we are.
And we all know it by heart now.
How in control, and I include us in this, how in control of our day-to-day lives are we now? I don't think we're even aware of it. I think we're steered like you steer cattle into a pen to go to the slaughter. I think we are as manipulated as any people can be. We really are, and we don't know it, and that's what makes it scarier. You know, our media in this country can motivate us to do whatever they want. Absolutely, there's no question.
Well, there's no doubt that today race relations are fine.
Mm-hmm.
All fixed.
Right? As opposed to
nobody's
last
talking
week.
About that because that's not what we're supposed to talk about.
Done and done.
There's an agenda. It doesn't come from us. We follow like everybody else. There's an agenda that comes from the people that decide who's going to be on the evening news.
But the other thing that I noticed is, my gosh, we want to assign blame.
Mm-hmm.
And now it is the fact that, okay, this nut job went to see some mental health professionals before.
Right.
We got to find these doctors,
sure,
and hold them responsible.
Like they have anything to really do with it.
Because they actually had him put in a nut house at one point. So let's go get the doctors.
Well, you know, even to use Simon as an example. Simon, you know, if that had gotten a certain amount of coverage, we will establish you. It's like a movie scene. It's like a movie script. You can establish the villain very quickly and very effectively, mm-hmm, with very little substance in this country. And, hey, that's supposed to be a bad guy. That's who's going to be the bad guy today. That's who we're going to yell at today.
And maybe, I don't want to say it's just another one of the many bad things out of the situation was the fact that last night, what should have been a glorious night for Larry King was ruined.
Yes,
he was forced to do coverage of the Virginia Tech shootings, mm-hmm, when he should have had his 50th anniversary,
you know, that's
beach
killing
towel show.
You know that's killing him. They won't postpone it either. It was set for this week. The way they lay those things out, you don't think they'll delay his little jerkathon?
Oh, no! The first thing he said last night was, "I waited 50 years. I can wait another couple days."
So they've made it. So obviously the subject has come up.
Yeah,
somebody has come to the pampered Larry and said, "Larry, we're going to have the swim in Lake Mee for you coming up in a couple of days."
Although he's going to have Bubba on his show tonight,
If
there's anyone who could turn it around, uh-huh, I imagine it's Bill Clinton, who at one point could say, "You know, Larry," Mike, I'm not good at this, so I'll just say it. I won't pretend to be it, but he could say, "You know, Larry, we've had a pretty good discourse about the tragedy, but frankly, I was booked on this show, and I know you're much too humble to bring it up, Larry. But I was booked on this show to talk about your 50 years in broadcasting. Could we change the topic for a moment?"
And all of a sudden you see Larry start to French kiss the former president.
Now, I hate to order you around like you're a puppet.
No problem.
Say that, though, like Clinton would, because he could finesse it.
Larry, I know we're dealing with an incredibly devastating national tragedy.
And
right,
he's maybe
now
the only guy out there that could really maneuver the situation.
But I think really we've talked about some serious matters. But if I can just take the liberty of mentioning the fact that I was booked on this show to discuss your fabulous 50 years in broadcasting, and I think that's something we should acknowledge no matter what the depth of the tragedy our country faces. Larry, kiss me hard. Kiss me hard right on the lips, Larry King. You know, if Larry King was a stand-up guy, Larry King might suggest, "Listen, I am very happy to have been in broadcasting for 50 years. However, I think at this particular time, it's best that we move on." And
not a chance.
Not a single chance. Well, that's anybody in show business. That's not fair to Larry, anybody in show business. What about the tribute to me? What about my tribute?
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Radio Gods.
Howdy, what's up?
Hey, Don, I sent you a friend request on Xbox Live yesterday. I was wondering if you got it.
Gee, friend, you know, with all of my community work, I was not able to get on Xbox Live yesterday. But if you did send me a friend request, I think you'll find within a couple of days, I'll write you back, and sure.
Okay, right. Also, out here in California, in Yuba City, apparently they got the same kind of, like, copycat thing going on.
Right.
And, like, the whole city's, like, shut down.
Is somebody scooping? Is this a newsmaker buzz?
No, I've been looking at this story while we were talking about the subject. Yuba City, California, in the Sacramento area. The entire school system apparently locked down after a guy on meth, apparently, claims he has an AK-47, has threatened to repeat the Virginia Tech scene there. So I guess the authorities...
That's all over the country, though.
Yeah, it's happening a dozen a day. This is one of the bad ones. We'll see how it turns out. I'll watch it.
All right. Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Howdy.
Hey, I'm a true fan. I love you guys. I listen to every second of every show possible.
Thanks.
But has it, and this is probably going to sound wrong or different than I feel, but have you thought that maybe you guys are perpetuating the media hype about Virginia Tech?
Of course we are. Of course we are, because that is what, you know, really, that is what everybody is talking about.
I believe that was said already, that we're as guilty as everybody else. While we are pigeonholing them and running them into the ground, we're as bad, sure.
Yeah, I mean, it is, you know, and you know, really, if we were at a corner bar somewhere, if we were sitting in a coffee shop somewhere, this is what we would be talking about anyway. And right. It's, and you know what?
They like to sell the show, though?
Yeah.
The Don and Mike Show. Two buddies for over 22 years sitting down at the corner bar discussing sports, sex, and the events of the day.
It really is. But isn't it the truth that when all this was going down, we came in, we're talking to each other about it. We're right. talking during the commercial breaks about it. Right. I'm talking to my girlfriend about it. You're talking to my... I mean, that's just the reality of it. I'm not justifying what we're doing. No. I mean, but I also think it would be foolish to come on and say, we're just not going to talk about it, because we're actually coming at it from a little bit of a perspective.
We're not doing what NBC News is doing. That's running 60-second promos featuring all of the pictures from the DVD that this guy provided.
But it is tough to take the high ground, Buzz. It really is.
But
because,
you
know, we're all
promo.
Kind of in the same slop bucket here. We really are.
I know.
But that's the way the country is, you know?
No, it's not easy to take the high ground, especially because NBC last week made such a big friggin' deal.
Yeah, are you saying it is easy to take the high ground?
Saying in this case it is. Yeah. If you're talking about this event specifically, because last week they stood on top of boxes saying, look at us. We're above this. We don't allow this type of crap talking about IMUS to happen. People have spoken. God damn it, we care about. I saw the same jerk-off president of NBC News. That guy has had more camera time on his network than Matt Lauer has in the last week. He was on every day last week talking about IMUS. He's on today talking about how scary important he is that the guy chose NBC to send the thing to. And, you know, we went through this at NBC with Anthrax, with Tom Brokaw, because we're important, because we're NBC. I mean, shut the frig up. Really, shut the frig up. You got some pictures of the guy. You got some stuff. Send it to the cops.
They did.
But, you know,
I know they did, Buzz.
They made promos out of it, too.
Yeah.
But the thing is, don't you feel like on any show, on this show in particular, we're really going to talk about something that we're talking about on air and off air most of the time. I mean, that's just the way it's going to work. You especially. I mean, you talk about your life every day.
Yes.
I mean, that's really the direction that the show goes. And you know what? It's just the way it is. And are we manipulated into that? I would say we absolutely are, because we're manipulated what comes through that magic box. Right. We really, really are.
But I do think, getting back to the original point, you can stand up and say to NBC, shame on you, you bastards. Last week you preached, you told us how great you were, you put your goddamn faces on TV every day and said that you were doing the right thing. Well, now you're on TV saying that you're doing this a public service, and you're really not doing the right thing at all.
And the whole thing about making the tapes available to the FBI, and I think that hasn't the Virginia State Police, at least that organization, come out and said, we really have learned all we need to learn. I mean, I think it's pretty easy to figure out what the deal is with this guy. What if they had come out and made the statement, really, we received this package out of respect for the families, we will not be showing you any of the material that he sent to us. That don't think that option hadn't been discussed at NBC. They could have done that. They had the power to do that.
And the other thing I have to point out, when you're watching it on CNN or Fox News or CBS, whatever, they goddamn make sure they put that big NBC News logo right on the top of it.
It's tough to say after the fact, but I really think that you know, looking at it in hindsight, they could have made that decision, and it really would have been, you know, you're talking about healing.
Well, why don't you talk to the people of NBC News? That, and I'm speaking now to NBC, because that's what you said last week.
Right.
Last week they came out and said, you know, we talked to the people in the newsroom, and they were terribly offended by what Don Imus said, what with our integrity and everything, so we had to fire him. Why don't you go into the same NBC newsrooms today and say, hey, I heard on the Don and Mike show, Buzz Burbank says we're running 60-second promos, and we've got our logo all over this thing, and we are turning this guy into a media, I don't want to say hero, celebrity. But a personality,
well,
a celebrity. Who's upset about that at NBC? Mm-hmm. Why don't you take that to the guy who loves being on TV?
You could have actually said, it's not a difficult thought process, and I know when you get something like this, you know this in news, Buzz. You get a story that breaks.
You know.
You go into that frenzy.
Newsmen get aroused when that happens.
Feeding frenzy. Yeah. However, if cooler heads would prevail and they had taken the time, and even now, even though it's out there, they could say, you know, we have made a mistake. And there are a lot of people that could take the high ground.
They may have.
And the easiest way to do it is, and this is the way I think about it. I'm thinking about it right now this way. If they had said, how would I feel if I was a parent of one of those children murdered if I heard NBC say, we're not going to show this guy on TV? I think I'd feel pretty good as a parent.
And just to piggyback on that, last week, wasn't NBC's whole big defense was, we had so many employees say to us, that could have been my daughter playing for that Rutgers basketball team.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, and that's the only, in fact, that they talk about journalistic standards, ethical standards in journalism, you know, the getting the story, their obligation to get the story.
There is not. It's a feeding frenzy for ratings.
You know, I've been in broadcast journalism, you know, classes where this subject has come up. You know, what do you do? And you're talking about subjectivity of the highest order.
Yeah.
You do not have hard and fast rules about this type of
Every
thing.
Every situation different.
And I really think, you know, and now I'm just thinking about this now, that if you had really had somebody with wisdom, you know, a real leader who would have said, listen, we have this thing out of respect for the families. We will not be showing that. Yeah. Who would have slammed NBC for that? That may be a few select people.
Here's another one for you. Think about this, really. What is today? April, what's today's day?
19th.
19th? Mm-hmm. How many months? I'm not going to give. How many days? How many months? How many days until someone announces that they've got a production deal to make a movie about this, to make a TV movie about this?
Oh, can't be too long.
As horrible and as sad as it is, you know, it won't be long. And that's just the way it is. And
starring Bobby Lee in the role of his life. Or who was the guy we had on from Wedding Crashers?
Steve Byrne.
Steve Byrne in the role of his life.
You know, that there are segments of the industry right now where that is already probably being planned.
Coach of the Rutgers team has just signed a book deal. So you'd have to allow
about the incident
And the rest of her life. It's an autobiography, and she has an interesting story to tell. But the selling point for the book will be the Amos thing.
Right.
Maybe there are people at NBC who are upset, and maybe NBC will apologize. Today, a colonel with the Virginia State Police said that investigators were disappointed by NBC for the airing of the tape. They said it was a disturbing decision.
Do you think there'll be a law and order?
Ooh.
About it? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Are you
They'll
kidding?
Change. It'll follow it for a little while.
But you know what? And you can say it's insincere or not as sincere, but I know that a lot of people are going around. There are positive ways to deal with this, too, that are not going to be hurtful to the families. And one of the positive ways is, you know, there are a lot of people in Virginia right now that are going to take a day to show the colors, and I think that's a positive thing. You know, that will, you know, just like when they were doing the hokey cheer at that college campus, that kind of rah-rah school spirit kind of stuff, I believe is going to make some people feel better. There's something, you know, that's positive. You know,
I bet you're right about the law and order, Robbie. I just over the weekend watched one that was of course loosely based on what's his name, Beretta,
right?
On Blake. That guy we like so
right,
bad,
right.
Robert Blake, and they had Gary Busey playing the role of the has-been who shoots his wife and then goes into a restaurant and comes back and says, "Oh my God, what happened?"
So don't you agree? They're probably even not necessarily big movie deals, but even TV producers thinking about. Well, they did Was it CSI that did the thing where they were in a shopping mall and they had the camera that they discovered with the kids that they did sort of a Columbine thing? On, I mean, they do that. That's what they. But Jesus Christ, wait a minute. That's what we watch.
Yeah.
That's what sells. That's what America wants to see. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. I mean, I'm not apologizing for that. I'm not going to do that. I watch it.
Yeah.
I watch those shows just like everybody else, but that's the. That is our number one fascination with it. That's what we watch on TV.
Dancing with the Stars, Mike.
Dancing with the Stars with Tom Bergeron.
Tom Bergeron. Hello there, stars. Yes, sorry, Tom Bergeron.
I read something interesting while we were on vacation about Tom Bergeron, an article that he gave with the L.A. Times.
That he's gay?
No, he's not gay.
Oh, that's right.
He is so self-loathing.
Really?
He hates his life.
He does?
Really? It's great.
Wow, I didn't know he was a self-loather.
It's great.
Like what?
He said, in essence, I'm Tom Bergeron. I was the host of America's Funniest Home Videos. I was on Hollywood Squares. I'm the Nimrod. He used a different word. I used the word ace, a blank, blank, blank. I'm the a blank, blank, blank that stands next to Emmett Smith and asks him how he feels after he gets done doing a tango.
You got to get him on the show.
And then it says again, it's like, well, you've got all these projects. And it's like, yes, but I'm Tom Bergeron.
I didn't know that. Well, now I feel differently about the guy.
And since I read that, I'm not a big viewer of Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
Tell the truth.
But when I do watch it now, uh-huh. I do notice that there's, although he realizes he's on a hit show,
yeah,
he definitely does not have that winning, hey, glad to be here attitude.
Like Ryan Seacrest.
He's got that smarmy.
Well, he might be a fun interview. You know, if he's filled with self-loathing, those are the kind of people we should talk to.
I hate my life. I'm Tom Bergeron.
Super Dave. Tom Bergeron.
Tom Bergeron.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. What's up?
Hey, what's up?
Hey,
what's up, buddies?
Hey.
This is Chad.
Is this drunk Chad?
Yeah.
Oh, formerly. No. Drunk Chad,
but
not a good caller when he's sober.
Oh, no, I've had a couple drinks.
Oh, okay, welcome back.
Oh,
good. But listen, real quickly.
When did you start drinking again?
Yesterday.
Congratulations.
Good.
Isn't he banned?
But I called in, and I got on directly.
Hey, hold on a second, Chad. Rob, I think you might be right.
Why is he banned?
I think we banned him based on his last call.
But he wasn't drinking then. Now he's drinking again, so he might be welcome.
Never banned.
No, I think you were.
How much have you had to drink today?
Anywho, just 3 shots, but I want to call it yesterday.
No,
I got
not enough.
Bye!
Not enough.
No, because he's forcing that agenda in.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to chat. He normally has a much better rhythm when he's drinking.
Hard to distract.
That was a wise
Hello.
Choice.
Don and Mike Show. Thanks, Rob. Hello. Hello there, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
We're doing great.
Good, man. I've been listening to you guys for a long time. I absolutely love your show, and it's a real privilege to get to talk to you.
But
I don't know, but nothing. That's it.
Okay.
Well, then
we usually think there's a but
because
we're filled with self-loathing too.
Thank you for the call.
Well, what I was going to call and say is the Tiki Bar is opening up this weekend, and their big act they have is Vanilla Ice.
The Tiki Bar down on Solomon's Island.
Yeah,
Tiki Bar's opening.
Yeah,
I remember a bad experience I had with Vanilla Ice at the Bottle and Cork in Bethany Beach, Delaware.
That's right. You had a run-in with him.
He was a dick. He was a super dick.
Yeah, imagine. Nice to see he's still performing.
Vanilla Ice.
Wow.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. What's his name? Rick Van Winkle?
Robbie Van Winkle.
Hello, Don and Mike. Oh, listen to that. What the hell is that?
What the hell's going on? Hello?
We put a hidden microphone in the daycare center. In this Dateline exclusive. Millions of children rolling around in Jell-O and crayons.
Wow.
This is the hidden mic at the Tiki Bar.
This is the Vanilla Ice dress rehearsal.
Hello?
Hello, you stupid person. You don't accidentally dial. We're not on a speed dial, are we?
Next time I'll have Carrie call me on my cell, not on the request
this
line.
This call came into us.
Last number dial.
Let me see. Who cares which line we go through? Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hi, what's up?
You know, it's funny what you said about NBC and the whole spin they put on about the, now they're, of course, taking the high road about not showing the video. And they're actually going to cash in on that with the PR machine that they have.
Sure. But you know what? Really, at least they're stopping. Are they stopping it now, Buzz? Are they?
Not that I know of. Not yet.
That you say they're stopping it, sir? They're not going to roll it anymore?
That's what I heard. Fox and NBC and all of them now are going to take the high road because of the families, of course.
Well, I mean, now
they've played it for a whole day.
But I just, you know, even with that, at least they're not doing it anymore. I think that's, you know, they heard what everybody had to say. They got their bang out of it, and now, but that's good. At least they're not continuing to run it.
Give us some clarification on that, though, Buzz.
I will.
Now that I don't trust our listeners.
I'm checking into it.
All of our junior newsmen out there.
You
Hello, Don and Mike show. Oh, yeah, we got to play that tape. That tape of Tom Gavin.
Tom Gavin. Gavin, the blue Tom Gavin.
You know.
How do you call it?
F-bomb, S-bomb, you know. You know, hello.
Tom Gavin, too hot for the radio.
Don and Mike show, hello.
Hey, guys, you know what, about those made-for-TV movies, I think they're somewhat of a – they give people that don't live there, they give them a view of what happened. Like, I remember when I saw the D.C. Sniper movie, I felt for everybody that lives right there in Virginia. I mean, what happened in D.C., when that happened, when I saw the movie, you know, maybe it was, what, 90% accurate? Well, from when I saw that, I was scared just watching the movie.
So that's for you the reason that you should make it. Well, why don't you go see a made-up movie that would scare you?
How does it benefit you to feel what the people were? I don't understand. I mean, I can see you're trying to make a point here.
It's not wrong to make the movie. It's not wrong to make the movie. It gives people a view of what the people saw so that maybe we can try to do something, but it doesn't.
Well, you know what? I know what you're trying to say, but there's one particular movie I saw.
I don't.
Which was the 9/11 movie about the was it Flight 93? Is that the one?
United 93.
United 93. When I watched that, I'll tell you why that was a good movie, because I really thought that did turn the people on that plane into heroes, and from that standpoint, I thought left that movie with a very good taste.
But what this Dumas is saying is that he liked watching the movie about the sniper shootings in D.C. because it made him feel scared, and he understood how the people in D.C. felt. Right?
Are you there?
Yeah, correct.
Right, that's stupid. That's just stupid.
Stupid idea.
Yeah, Fox News is reporting that it and other networks are pulling back on their airing of the video in response to what they describe as a backlash from the viewing public. I'm now looking over material from NBC to see what they're saying as well.
Well, I hope the Rutgers women basketball team has some sort of press conference about this today. I truly do.
Stop picking on
Someone's
those girls.
Bitter.
I'm sorry.
Sorry I did that.
I did a bad thing.
I'm very, very embarrassed that I did that.
You know, and like we said a couple of days ago, that guy's got to be sitting at home going, of all the times.
1 week.
That's all I needed, 1 week.
That's all it would have taken.
I would have been on the air doing a fundraiser right now.
My God. Now I'm just sleeping with the scorpions. In Arizona.
I'm a bad man.
Where's my armadillo boots?
Bernard?
I need my armadillo boots. Oh, dear, another clump of hair fell out. Oh, what a shame.
Oh, and speak about someone who will absolutely guaranteed 100% chance be on Law & Order or one of the SVUs, the Ima story.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There will be the story of, you know, the crazy disc jockey Shocked who out. Goes too far.
Well, you can throw that the governor element into it too, with the government, the governor driving
off
the road.
That's right, going 91 miles an hour.
Imus could play himself; he doesn't have anything else to do.
Stupid idiot!
I don't know.
I don't know if I'll do it or not. I don't know if I'll be on this SUV or not.
Donna Mike,
Law and Order SUV.
Donna Mike.
Donna Mike. I don't know if they're on or not. Whoa.
Let's hit a break, and we'll come back. I know we've got some Sangina stuff to listen to.
Let's give him something to talk about.
Oh, and talk about Guitar Hero and also the definitive Tom Gavin phone call.
Too hot for radio.
We've had Tom as a caller on our show, as a regular random caller.
Right.
I don't know, 20 years. Everybody knows who Tom is. Sometimes during commercials, if we're just goofing around, we pick up the phone. And we talked to him.
Yeah.
And we did that yesterday.
Yes. And we kind of egged him on to talk the way we wanted him
to talk.
Say
what?
I don't think we really had to egg him on very much.
Well, if it's on the tape, I actually said it to him. I said, talk dirty, Tom.
Well, let me hear the beginning of the tape. Hello.
Oh, cool. Good, boys.
Right. I said,
hi, guys.
Who's this?
This is the monster. I'm trying to help Bob get his boy out of his bedroom.
What?
I'm trying to get Bob's son out of his bedroom.
You.
Watch it.
Oh.
Watch it.
Retard.
Jack off.
Oh.
Watch it.
Bungaloid.
Watch it.
Stupid dick.
Mother
Watch
sucks.
It.
Mother sucks.
Watch it.
Bad mother.
Watch it.
Taint ship.
Hey, where's Charlie?
Now, are we editing out?
Do we edit the part out where we told Tom to talk dirty
to
us?
No. Are we editing out Paint Chip and Mongoloid? You know, I think he works himself back into it because I think actually the first
he gets about halfway through it, not halfway through it, but early on to it, he starts enjoying the potty talk. Like
I think
we
right
did.
Away, I think I say to him, F you, and then you say, MF-er.
MF-er, but then I believed I had to say, Tom, talk dirty.
Let's hear the beginning of it again. Again, this is a call during a commercial break yesterday, late in the show.
Hello.
Oh, cool. Good, boys.
Right. I said,
hi, guys.
Who's this?
This is the monster. I'm trying to help Bob get his boy out of his bedroom.
What?
I'm trying to get Bob's son out of his bedroom.
Yo.
Watch it.
Oh.
Watch it.
Okay, that's how it starts. I said,
right, we start doing it thinking that he right away will start giving it back to us, which is when it gets fun. And then because he wasn't, because he kind of wasn't sure he wasn't on the air,
right.
We had to kind of tell him to talk.
Rob, you've heard this thing. When we come back, what kind of roller coaster ride are we in for?
Amazingly, you'll find Tom is a little slow on the uptake.
Uh-huh.
What?
But, yes, exactly. After he the dam breaks, he's right up there with you guys. It is a roller coaster.
Yeah. Good. Okay.
It starts out funny, and you'll end up.
At about a little ways into it, he starts to give as good as he gets.
Right. Oh yeah,
and that's when it gets really fun.
Right. What's the best part is when Charlie shows up.
Yeah, and Charlie gives it to him, and Charlie's never talked to him like
such
that.
Such a bad mouth on that boy.
Charlie really gives it to him.
He does.
Potty mouth. All right, we'll play the tape of our conversation with Tom.
You know.
Hey.
You know.
He'll love it. You know he's loving it right now.
F you. F you.
He's going to dig it.
F you.
We did.
I know. At one point, Mike was saying, what do you want to do with that girl? And he said, sex. And Mike said, say it. What do you want
to
do
Maybe
with her?
Maybe that's how I got him to start talking.
What did you want to? What do you want to do to her, Tom? Have sex with her. Finally getting him to say, what do you want to do, Tom? F her.
And there's also good Tom in there where he goes into a whole level of monster.
Yes.
With a voice that is, you know, you could use in a horror movie. Very, very scary. Okay.
You know.
There he is. We'll be back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.